You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Wanna go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 369 of the big show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Oh, it's madness. That's right, it's March Madness is here. And, well, it's Sunday night at 8:50 p.m. as I sit here and regale you with some stories. Was going to record last night, but ended up watching the basketball, and to be completely honest, it was a rousing Saturday night. Fell asleep on the couch, and it was a real thriller. And worked today. Well, I worked yesterday and today. I always work, but put some sports bets in, bet on some basketball. That went nowhere. How's your bracket doing? Do you want to discuss our brackets? That's what everybody's going to have to listen to this Monday. When you go into the office, how's your bracket? You know, I will say it, as I've said on this show before, as a sports bettor, college basketball is probably my favorite sport to bet on. And, I love March Madness. I love the tournament. My bracket's completely the shits. Like I said, everybody wants to hear about my bracket. Unfortunately, well, I have UConn to win it on my bracket, which is still looking good, but I had them beating Kentucky. Kentucky going out in the first round to a 14 seed. There we go. But there's always upsets, right? You gotta just find them. But, anyway. We won't talk about March Madness brackets anymore on here, but how are you guys doing? Thank you very much for tuning in. It's going to be sort of an abbreviated I say that like I'm going to get out of here real quick, you know, and then we're all sitting here an hour later and I'm still talking. So in my mind, I'm not going to talk for long. No, whether that comes true or not, I don't know. So I'll probably make myself a liar here by the end of it at the 58 minute mark. Oh, look at the time. Honestly though, I don't have much to talk about today. Although I do have a prospect for you guys. Oh, I was talking to the fourth line scouts and they were hitting me. They hit me with a name. Yukon Finland. He's been scouting them. Oh, he had his SJHL footage. He was sending me. We had the WHL footage. Yeah. What's with hockeyfights.com? I thought we were supposed to have all this current footage of WHL footage, and we're missing like half this guy's tilts. You know, this year we got one fight up from this year. Oh yeah, let's bang up job here. You're gonna call yourself a fight site? Fucking act like it. Too busy posting cat videos. Anyway, thank you, Yuka, for hooking me up, sending me the video. Once again, taking care of the people. It's the behind the scenes. I don't want to say it's the little people, but it's the fourth line voice, European wing of the corporation. Has really coming through. You know, he came up with some good stuff. So I take back what I was saying about him earlier. But Matt Henry. Oh, folks, let me tell you. It's a good one. This is a good one. I liked it. Liked what I saw. And, yeah, we're going to get into that. That was fun. I'm going to, we'll talk about him. And then I had brought up, obviously, last episode that I was going to be talking about. Oh, I said a Brandon Wheat King, blah, 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 we were talking. Then somebody asked me who, you know, all the Brandon Wheat Kings, they've had a lot of tough guys. Who's the toughest guys for the Wheat Kings that you saw? So I'll do that. I'm not making a list or anything, but I'll hit you with some names from the past. You know, we'll recognize them. To close out the show, I'm going to talk, obviously, a topic that is in the news, I was accused of a few things this week, and we're going to talk about it. Basically, it was about CTE, and I will talk about that at the end, and so we'll get into it. But first of all, like I said, I'm a member. What was that? I don't know. Here, we'll rewind that and we'll start again. As I said at the top of the show, I'm a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. Not sure for how long, but we're still here. They haven't figured it out yet. I don't know. No one's paying attention. There's over 100 shows in the network. All the NHL teams have podcasts. Whatever team you're a fan of, there's probably a couple shows for you. Myself, Joe Lazito, Terry Ryan, we're over on the original content creator side. So check that out. Terry Ryan just had Mike Commodore on his show, and I saw that today, and Jolton Joe is going to release a show tomorrow. Something about the OHL, I don't know if he's globetrotting, if he came in. I can't believe, you talk about border security issues. Yeah, start building the wall down there by right around New York. We don't want his type up here in Canada. But I don't know if Lazito came into Canada or he stayed down in the States and watched the American. I don't know what's going on. He had a bunch of OHL logos, and then he's talking about OHL tomorrow. So I don't know. We'll see what happens there. Really looking forward to that. Yeah, with bated breath. Hold on, I got to get to the edge of my seat here. But Coliseum Chronicles, check it out. Some great interviews. Just had an interview with Steve McLaren, Darcy Harris. Now we're going into Ontario. We're talking about the Ontario Hockey League. Disney on ice, boy. I'm waiting for the day they start playing with full cages. It's coming. But, yes, no, Jolton Joe's got a tremendous back catalog. Coliseum Chronicles, check it out. Joe's a good guy. And, And then, like I said, Alec, Five for Fighting Podcast, he retired. Jordan, I don't know if he's still digging out the snow in Cape Breton. We'll see. I don't know. He lost his shovel. Maybe he can't find his mitts. Something. But haven't heard from him. So, I don't know what's going on at the Five in a Game podcast. So, it's just me and Joe carrying the torch right now. And Terry Ryan. As I said, we went from the Four Horsemen. Now we're down to the Three Stooges. So, what's next? I don't know, Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Or maybe that's who I'm doing a podcast with. I can't remember. Well, we'll see how it all turns out. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. But if you happen to be on social media, I don't know why you would do that to yourself. But if you are, check me out. Fourth Line Voice on Twitter or X, as well as on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram, I'm Fourth Line Voice, THPN. I can't get into the gram, as the kids say. I don't know. Maybe I need to do a gram before I get on there or something. I'm not into it. But I'm on there, nonetheless. And on YouTube, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube. I have over 2,000 videos on there. All the leagues, whatever league you're looking for, just type it in. It'll come up. And yeah, check it out. If please subscribe to the channel. If you watch a video and you like it, smash that like button. But it, seriously, like YouTube loves that shit, like the interactions and stuff, and it's like it helps the algorithms. As well as whatever platform you're listening to this, iTunes, Spotify. If you could, right at the top where it's a star rating, if you could rate the show, that would be tremendous. Be like Kevin from Niagara. And Steve. Apparently Steve listens all the time. I said, well, you're the one. But yes, if you could leave a review, that would be splendid. Like I said, you don't have to write anything. Just hit the star rating. And, again, helps out in the algorithms. And, whatever podcast you listen, well, I mean, like I always say, I don't think Spit, Chiglets, and Rogan need your stars, but I mean, for the smaller shows, it definitely helps out, it helps in the algorithm, it keeps Spotify and iTunes happy and all that shit, so, yeah, just, and download, don't stream, because that's how we get paid, so, just saying, that's how we make money, that is going to be a, something that I address here shortly, but yes, if you could download, don't stream, that would be delightful. All right, well, let's get into things here. Well, first things first. Well, before I get into the whole Matt Henry thing, as it was said or asked of me through my years of watching the Western Hockey League back in the day, I would say it would be about 92-ish. 96, 97, 98, 99, kind of around there, a little bit in 2000. But basically, mid-90s, we'll say, it was a real wheelhouse. And, you know, and I saw games before that, like in the late 80s and stuff. But again, you know, in their elementary school. And then later on, after the mid-2000s and stuff, nah. Sparingly, maybe a couple games a year. And then after about 2011, that was about it. I haven't been to a game since. So, anyway, they were asking about the Wheat Kings. I gotta say, I kind of jotted down some names, and I mean, obviously, like, oh yeah, like with Wheat Kings, if you go to the alumni, I mean, you have Dave Semenko and Shovel Dayoff and Dean Kennedy, you know, even like a Cam Brown, Barry Dreger, Jeff Odgers. I mean, obviously Semenko and stuff. That was in the 70s. I mean, that was still, I was in diapers still. You know, Dean Kennedy, late 70s, early 80s. Again, 5, 6 years old. I don't remember. Dreger and Odgers were the late 80s, like 87, about 88, 89, 90. I've seen some of their fights because I have some of it on video. Again, go to my YouTube channel if you want to check it out. I have a bunch of Odgers, Wheat Kings fights on there. Fights the exact same, too. Actually, Odgers is a great player in the Western League. He had 30-some goals a couple years in a row. 200 minutes. He was tremendous. Cam Brown. I want to say Cam Brown's the East Coast Hockey League's all-time penalty minute leader. But he was an old salty blue liner. But him and Dreger and Odger, man, that was a tough group. But I do have some of their videos on my YouTube channel. But who I remember, I really remember Les Borsheim, big D man, big Les. He is a former guest of the show. Dan Kopech, there's another guy. Under the radar guy, everyone knew how tough he was. But he wasn't like a huge volume guy, but tough as shit, went on to the East Coast League. Again, Dan Kopech's been on the show, great guest, told some great stories, went on and played in the Quebec League with Laval for a year. I have some really good Kopech fights on my YouTube channel. Check him out. He was mean as shit and big. And yeah, Kopech could bang. He was awesome. And great interview. Him and Les are really good interviews. So definitely go in the back catalog and check those out. Another guy, it would be late 90s, was Randy Ponte. And he seemed like he was in the Western League for like 10 seasons. He played 5 years, started off at like 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 year old. Right out the six, I think his first fight in the Western League as a 16 year old was against like Kyle Friedrich. Ponte was awesome. I know he's the Wheat Kings all time penalty minute leader. He had like 1,200 minutes and like 300 games. not a big guy, like 6 feet, 200. Like, he wasn't big. Him and Hordachuk had some really good tilts. I mean, Ponte fought everybody. And, yeah, tremendous fight card. Yeah, I was a huge Randy Ponte fan. If anybody knows Randy, I believe he's an accountant in BC now. I've sent him a text. I've sent him a message on Facebook. Somebody, if anybody out there knows Randy Ponte, tell him I'd love to get him on the podcast because he'd have some great stories from the old Western League days. Of course, he played at the same time Jordan Tutu was there. Tutu, huge hitter. Wow. I mean, you all saw him play in the NHL. He played like that in the Western League. He's a little bastard, man. Ran around. Could score. He had 35, 40 goal seasons. Dirty as shit, but he would fight. But him and Ponte were pretty vicious duo. Another guy, Chris Dingman. Of course, you guys know him from the NHL. Big guy. He played about the mid-90s, but he was a real solid player. Like, huge dude. I mean, he was a 40-goal guy. He was a first-round pick by Calgary. Like, he was a big guy, 40-goal guy. I think he had 40 goals in, like, 200 minutes 1 year. He used to fight Bielak all the time. Him and Bielak were, like, you know, them two big hosses going at it. Yeah, but really solid Western Hockey League player. You know, actually, who I was a big fan of with the, and he was a real high pick. I think he was a second rounder with Buffalo, was Darren Van Olin. And unfortunately he kind of was injury prone, but he was like a power forward guy in the Western League. Like he 25 goals, but 150 minutes, probably fight about, you know, eight, you know, seven, eight, nine, 10 times a year, but big. I remember big, he was the heavyweight champ. He wasn't anything like that, but I mean, would hold his own. Just a real tough winger. And I was a big fan of Van Olin. He come to Saskatoon, I always liked him. I know in the American League, he had a big knockout of Brent Thompson one time. But he played in Rochester, it's just one of those just solid American League, just lunchbox guys, but just couldn't make that next step. But like I said, I think he had problems with his knees. He was injured a lot, but, you know, but even in the American League, I think he had like a 20-goal year, you know, probably 6-7 fights, but it was just, yeah. But he could never, I don't think he ever played, which is a damn shame. I don't think he ever played any regular season games with Buffalo, which is too bad. But I was a big Darren Van Olin fan. Yeah, and then, of course, later on, Reeves. But that was like in early 2003, 2004, 2005-ish around there. So I might have seen him play a couple of times, but I always say the funny thing with Reeves is, he didn't fight really back then. Of course, some would say he doesn't really fight now, but I mean, he fought when he first came up with the Blues in the American League and stuff. But I mean, in the Western League, there was guys fighting back then, you know, 10, 15, 20 times still. He was a third line grinder guy, like, 15 goals, probably 5 or 6 fights a year. That was about it. He certainly, you know, turned on the fighting, I think, as he turned pro, recognizing, you know, that he didn't obviously have the offensive skill to stick around, or at least to make the NHL. So, you know, for his size and strength, and just started fighting. But, yeah, so I mean, those are kind of the, you know, just throwing some names at you, but yeah, kind of that mid-90s Western League was sort of my wheelhouse. That's when we went to a ton of games and just, you know, were really paying attention. And, you know, like I said, that was right in that kind of Dingman, Van Olin, Ponte, Tutu type of, you know, time frame. So, yeah, what a great time. But, I always say with the Brandon Wheat Kings, man, that is the definition of long road trips. Every trip is long. Like, I want to say the closest team's Regina, and I think that's 5 hours. You know, like, to get to Saskatoon's, like, at 7. You know, 7 and a bit. And just, that's the thing when you play for the Blades. I mean, you have Prince Albert, which is an hour away, Moose Jaw, hour and a bit, Swift Current, you know, a couple hours, you know, Regina's 2 hours. It's like you're in that central kind of location where, you know, everything, you know, you hop on the bus, it's not bad, right? You're, you know, you play the game, you're home, you're sleeping in your own bed at night. But man, when you're with the Wheat King, and you, oh man, you play those home and homes. Ugh. Like these guys, like, Brand is the definition of road warriors. Without a doubt. And, yeah. Man, that would be a team I would not want to play for. Just the travel. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. To be completely honest. But, yes, the Brandon Wheat Kings. There you go. But, yeah, some classic battles with the Blades for sure. But speaking of battlers, I gotta say, like I said, I was hyping up the, was hyping up the kid here. The player spotlight, Matt Henry. I'm gonna give you guys the scouting lowdown. We can all go to, YouTube and check out his tilts and everything. But, actually, before I do that, you know, we gotta keep the lights on here, folks. Hopefully you signed up for DraftKings. You know, you got your bonus, you can get in on some March Madness betting. Could have made some money on some long shots. THPN, promo code. That would help out, but Stanley, the playoffs are around the corner in hockey. Baseball's about to start. Lots of betting opportunities, but I know it's a gambling thing. Shohei's betting on us, but we'll see how that's going to turn out. That's not good. But hey, if you can't place the bets, your interpreter can. But yeah, here's a little sponsorship ad, and then after this, we're going to get into my player, my scouting. Here we go.
And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Yeah, Connor Bedard's back. Anytime scoring prop for him is +330. Oilers, the favorite Stanley Cup futures ticket, +700 right now, followed by Boston and Colorado at +850. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Okay. Matt Henry. As I said, Yuka was kind of giving me the lowdown. He's like, I'm going to send you a video of this guy. You're going to dig it. He's old school. I think you'll like it. And you know what? And Yuka was not wrong. I will say that right now. Yeah, man. Went through his videos here, last couple days. It's fucking tremendous. There's one for you guys to check out. You always thought, oh, we're bringing fighting back. Well, no, but I mean, I will say that this guy is a throwback guy. He's been suspended multiple times. And I will say, I gotta say, when we start, as a 17-year-old, played in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League in the SJHL, little Junior A. So right away, I got the soft spot for him already. When you're a Junior A guy, let alone you're an SJ boy. Now you really got my attention. He's from Saskatchewan here in Prince Albert, and he played for the North Battleford North Stars, and watched a few of those fights. Oof, putting the hammer down on a few guys, and. He was an undrafted player. He's a walk-on to the Brandon Wheat Kings and made the team as an 18-year-old. And, he had 100. This is where 140 PIMS was first in the Western League last year. He led the league in fighting majors with 12. Was invited to Maple Leafs camp, and he was undecided about continuing his career after the season. He returned to Brandon earlier this year in the regular season. I'm gonna read you some of his notes. Like Yuka said, one in 22-23 and 23-24, I actually watched maybe 20 Wheat Kings games all because of Henry. In this day and age, the intensity and aggressiveness and willingness to instigate and intimidate in almost every shift is a sight to see. I'm not kidding nor exaggerating. This guy is fun to watch, and he is being a constant pain in the ass for the other team. He's a perfect old-school type bully. So there you go, folks. Some of his suspensions. 5 games for game misconduct for leaving the bench versus Regina. 1 game for game misconduct against Regina. He's got something against the... Jesus, he really has something against Regina. 2 games for game misconduct. Repeat offender versus Regina. 2 games for a major in game misconduct against Kelowna. 8 games for a slew foot double minor and repeat offender versus Swift Current. And then 6 games for a spearing major, repeat offender versus Saskatoon on March 2nd. Prince Albert's Matt Henry is trying to crack the Wheat Kings roster at 18. The undrafted free agent listed last season's energy and toughness made it impossible. Obviously, I want to contribute as best I can and help the team win. I like to forecheck and throw the body around and get the boys going. That's my main thing. Henry made the jump from the Saskatchewan Junior League at 17 with Battleford, putting up 4 goals and 12 assists in the press of 216 minutes in 52 games. And here's the best part that I'm digging this kid. First of all, at Brandon, they were selling Hank the Tank shirts. That's what his nickname is, Hank the Tank. They sold out immediately. Tremendous. I got to try to dig one of those up. Hank the Tank. I got to try to find one of those. That's pretty funny. I wonder how he did in Leafs camp. That'd be interesting. I should look into that. So there's a little bit of an article here. I'll read you. I mean, you guys, this is who we're dealing with here. This is old school shit here. I'm digging this. Matt Henry brings an utterly unique skill set to the Brandon Wheat Kings, as it turns out. He has redefined the meaning of work ethic for the club. Henry, whose chiseled 6-foot, 215-pound frame reflects the time he spends in the gym, is the first Wheat King in memory to also work a part-time job. The 19-year-old forward said he needs a little extra. His need to do a little extra is simple. I hate sitting around, he said. I take pride in it. You have to have a backup plan. School is not really my thing, and that's okay. You can still make a great living, and I've done pretty well for myself so far just getting started. Henry got his first job at 16 while he was playing in North Battleford. He began helping out at the farm at his billets. When the season ended, he returned home to Prince Albert and found a job there. At 17, he began working at the landscaping company. Lots of labor, lots of hard hands-on work, Henry said. In his rookie season, Brandon, a year ago, Henry became the first Wheat King in memory to hold down a part-time job as he helped at the farm near the city. They had me teach a little girl how to ride horses and just the basics, he said. I helped out a little bit too. I'm not the best fit guy, but I'm always a guy that'll help out. This winter, he worked at a local construction company when it's scheduled allowed and when they have stuff for him to do. I enjoy it. It's nice getting up early in the morning. We have to come to the rink and work out and skate and get on with your day. Assistant coach Mark Derlego has never seen anything like it. This is a first for me, a guy who had a job, he said with a laugh. There are guys who go to school, but for someone to get up at 5 a.m., put on work boots on, then come to the rink and have that same amount of energy and work ethic, it says a lot about him. After last season ended, Henry essentially retired from hockey. He didn't skate after he left Brandon. Instead, he helped his friend's farm as they prepared for seeding, and he earned his 1A license, which allowed him to drive the bigger trucks. He began working for a concrete company the day his license arrived. It was a lot of things, Henry said, his time away from the rink. Sometimes you kind of lose the love for something, and you don't know if it's yours if you want to go back and check it out. I took 7 months off. I didn't skate, but I worked out. Mostly every day. One day I woke up and thought, I should go back. Honestly, the main part of it was I saw the boys playing and I saw guys fighting and it made me itch a little bit and I had to get back at it. After missing training camp, preseason, and the first week of the season, he returned to Brandon September 30th. I missed the boys, Henry said. I went back on Saturday, had a day off on Sunday, skated twice Monday, skated Tuesday, played Wednesday. It was intense. He said he welcomed back by his teammates. Guys love having him around. He's a great teammate, brings lots of energy to the room on the ice and on the bench. He keeps everyone on their toes. Pretty vocal guy. The fact he even found a spot in the Western League beat the odds. The undrafted free agent was cut by his hometown under 18 AAA Prince Albert Minto's at 15. So he headed to the Battleford North Stars program and played there. He made the jump to the SJHL at age 17 with the North Stars, putting up 4 goals, 12 assists, 216 minutes of penalties. And he was quickly listed by Brandon that October. He then became the ultra rare undrafted player who made his league debut at 18. He's a team first guy. Our guys rely on him for lots of energy. Brings that. He's a happy-go-lucky guy with intensity meter that goes beyond most other guys. I think it rubs off on people. Playing a role. If you have followed the Wheat Kings the past two seasons, there aren't many surprises in Henry's game. In 84 outings, he has 2 goals, 1 assist, and 219 minutes. He has emerged as the league's top heavyweight in the era where there aren't too many. I love every guy on the team, Henry says. I'm willing to bleed for him. Obviously, now I'm trying to change my role. I've been taking too many minor penalties and help the team that way. If they need energy, I'll go out and lay a couple of hits, and if a fight presents itself, then it does. That's what I'm willing to do. If I see a guy get hit dirty or cheap shot, I'm not going to get in the guy's face because I'm going to be right in the guy's face. I love my guys and I want to take care of them. He certainly earned the nickname Hank the Tank. My computer froze here for a second. When he does fight, he has ability to throw either hand. It sets him apart as he does his strength. While the results can be brutal, Henry doesn't really dislike the guys he's fighting. If a guy's willing to square up with me and go toe-to-toe, and if the team needs one or I need one, he gives me that. I don't hate you. I respect you. The kind of guy that if we fight on the ice, we can go out after the game. I don't hold grudges. As he thinks about it, however, it turns out that's not entirely true. There was one instance when a fight really bothered him. Last year, I got jumped, so I was mad. That's a disrespectful jumping a guy. He's not looking. If you square up with me and we make it fair, whatever goes down, I'm okay with it. It's just different articles that Yuka sent me. I gotta say, when I went through his fight cards here and watched his stuff on YouTube. Tremendous. Right at the start, like his 12 fights last year, Justin Elias, Saskatoon, takes him down with a really stiff right. Then he fights Lankow, throws both hands, he just overwhelms him. Rhett Pearson again, both hands. He has a fight with this Grady Martin and Prince Albert, and he just bombs him with rights, but he must have got hit in the nose because they talk about it the next game. He fights Ashton McNally. Where have I heard that McNally name for? Yes. I believe younger brother. And he had a broken nose during the fight, but he went at it anyway. Ashton Kirby, that was a really good one. They go toe to toe at center ice, and he's kind of doing the chuck and duck. He got a little rocky going. And afterwards, when the linesmen come in to kind of break it up, they kind of get in early and whatever. Kirby kind of reaches over like he's going to try to, Crumby or whatever his name is, Crumby, tried to throw another shot at Henry, but, problem was, is he was tied up, but Henry wasn't. Oh, and Henry lands a couple of beauty rights over the linesman's shoulder, at him. And that's why, watching him, Yuka's right. He does remind me of an old school. He's mean when you watch him throw. Like when he's wound up and he's pissed. He'll throw a shot at a guy. I know the one he kind of slammed the one guy down on the ice pretty hard and was like, you know, kind of really digging in and like leaning on him when he were down. Not taking his hair, bouncing his head off the ice or anything, but you could see he was leaning on him like. He had a couple great fights with Pearson, couple rounds one and two, toe to toe. Landon Ward for Lethbridge is the guy that kind of jumps him. I know he's really, that's the fight he was mad about that he's talking about. I know Tony, friend of the show, Tony. He was talking to Ron DeLorme, who was a scout with the Western League, at the Vancouver game. And Ron DeLorme said he's the toughest guy in the league. So Ron DeLorme saying that's all you need to know. Because I think Mr. DeLorme knows a thing or two about toughness. But yeah, Matthew Henry, I suggest you guys have a look in to check it out. And actually, I should point out that I should have read at the bottom of the article, he actually wants to turn pro next year, and he wants to just to see what happens and go for it. I would love... there's already been overtures made to the Southern Pro Team in Quad City. You guys should get on this. I'd love to see the kid turn pro with that attitude, and especially in a league without fight limits. Of course, the Western League doesn't have fight limits, but I'd love to see what he could do. He throws both hands, could switch hands seamlessly. That was one thing I noticed in the fights. If you go and check it out, right's obviously is his power hand, but he can throw lefts too, and he has a nice uppercut. Just a really salt, not the biggest guy, 6 feet, 215, but, and he's got kind of the asshole in him after he's done fighting. He's not afraid to tell you what he did to you, and, kind of plays it to the crowd. And, it's just something really unique to see these days. And, and like I said, Yuka's a hockey guy, been around hockey, coaches hockey. He knows what he's looking at, So, when he told me, you got to check this guy out and tell your audience about him. If Yuka says so, I believe in him. And after watching the videos he sent me, goddamn. Yeah, I love it. Hank the Tank, I dig it, man. So, Matt Henry with the Brandon Wheat Kings, number 67. Yeah, I don't know about that number, but what are you going to do? He was fun to watch. And, check out his stuff on YouTube. Some great tilts, and I'm kind of sitting in the dark and I can't read my writing very well, but Cumbie is a great tilt. Ashton Cumbie is what I have written down, or is it Crumby? I can't even read my writing, but you'll figure it out. Go on YouTube. Just check out Matthew Henry. I'm going to take some of Yuka's videos that he had sent me. I'll put them up on my YouTube channel as well. And, maybe I should just put the whole damn Matt Henry thing on there. The whole video. Tremendous. A big fan. He's got a fan in me. And I really hope, and that's the thing. Like, next year he's a 20-year-old, and you can only keep 3 overagers in the Western League. And, nobody's, in this day and age, it's not Randy Ponte anymore. And it's not the 90s. So no one's going to keep an overage in Forrester. And I'm pretty sure he probably doesn't want to go back to junior A. So, turn pro, and, we'll see what happens. Imagine him in the East Coast League or something. I'd love to see him give it a go. And, if anybody out there knows how he did in Leafs camp, I'd love to hear about it. If he had any tilts or not. I'd assume if you go to Leafs camp, I'm sure he's probably fighting. I don't think he needs to be told twice. But like I said, love his attitude, and he's got a bit of asshole in him, from just the fight clips I watched, just his kind of his mannerisms and his talking to guys and his just, you could tell when he's wound up and shit. I dig it, man. He's got the old school vibe, and, Matt Henry, keep it up. I dig it, man. I love it. And, I will be, paying attention, and I hope you guys do too. Check it out on YouTube. I think you guys will dig him. So thank you, Yuka, for bringing Matthew Henry to my attention. I know he's in the Western League. It's right in my backyard, but like, guys, I'm not fucking paying attention, right? So, I'm not watching. I don't pay attention, but if somebody sends me a link or, hey, check this guy out or whatever, I'll keep up on the current stuff, like American League. Jake Doty's been having tremendous fights this year. I've been pumping Doty's tires for a bunch of years though. Of course, Alex Gallant, I mean, obviously, Travis Howe, and then of course in the East Coast League, Darian Skiho, Amesbury, obviously, You know, so, I mean, there are, you know, I do pay attention to some of the, you know, stuff that's going on now, but, yeah, unless it's brought to my attention, I'm not actively seeking it out. So I was excited to, always excited to check out, the Young Bloods. And, yes, he looks tremendous. I love it. Both hands, uppercuts. Keep it up, Matt Henry. But, yeah, guys. Well, the last little thing that I'm going to talk about here, it's not, you know, obviously it's not something I want to talk about, but I will address it because it came up on social media on my feed, and I didn't appreciate it, and just going around, you know, after the unfortunate passing of Chris Simon, you know, yeah, obviously, there are going to be people that unfortunately use his death to push their agenda, and it's just a real sick shit to see, and you know, it yeah, it was just, and again, it's. I don't know. Well, here I had this whole kind of this monologue that I had in my head that I was going to say, and now I'm grasping here. I will say with CTE, it's obviously when you play a contact sport that has fighting, obviously there's going to be a great risk for it. And, you know, as the years have gone on and science and we've learned more, obviously now it's on everyone's mind. It's not like, oh, we don't know. I mean, obviously the science is there. People are talking about it. People are aware of it. And sport itself is in a real, obviously any contact sport, but we'll keep it in the hockey context here. But hockey's in that weird headspace right now, that real weird space where people want to, I mean, you want the game to remain physical, because that's an attraction to the game. People want that. The players want that. At the same time, it's like, well, you got to make it safe. Well, it's like, yeah, I mean, how do you make a car crash safe, right? It's like, you know, put on a seatbelt, I guess, but you're still going to get jostled. So, you know, and with the rules put forth in junior now, with the restrictions with fighting basically eliminated in Quebec and Ontario, especially Quebec. Again, the Western League does not have a fight, which is amazing to me, actually, that they don't. But again, well, Matt, like I said, Matt Henry last year led the league with 12. So it's not like there's guys still racking up 30 tilts a year. That doesn't happen anymore. So there's a fine line, and I guess when it comes to fighting in hockey, I've always said I can understand why people don't like, I can understand why somebody doesn't like fighting. I get it. I don't agree with you. I understand why there's a need for it. At the same time, it'd be hypocrite of me to say, because I've bitched on this show numerous times about how they've made fighting a sideshow. With the good luck bro and the respectful thing and everybody in their goddamn codes and every other horseshit. You know, and it's like, and you can't enforce anymore. Like, I understood fighting when you could enforce and you let the players police the game. I can understand fighting then because it was consequent. You paid for your actions. There was consequences to your actions. That doesn't exist anymore. So, when it comes down, do you really need fighting? You know, at the pro level, yeah. I still think, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, let's be honest, it's entertainment. I mean, and that sounds maybe cruel to say, I mean, but we're being honest here. You know, do people love violence? Yeah, that's just the end. I mean, I'm not saying anything that's controversial. I mean, you know, I've always said on here, red ice sells, and it's true. I mean, no one ever boos during a hockey fight. So, you know, And that's another reason why they won't get rid of it. Well, and the big reason why they won't get rid of it is the players want it. Every year, you guys have heard the interviews I've done on here with the players. And there's guys on the show that are suffering from CTE and career spent fighting. But they've said it on here. Every one of them has said it on here. They wouldn't change a thing. So, you know, so I guess when it comes to the fighting, on some level, when people say they don't want, save it for the pros. I get it. I don't want to say I agree with you, but I can see the argument. I can. You know, especially when you got kids 16, 17. Yeah, all right. I think once they get over 18, they're not, you know. If you can enlist and go over and shoot people in foreign lands in the army, I don't think we have the right to, and you can drink and drive and do all that and vote and everything else. You know, I don't think we could start. But we clamped down on a fist fight in Brandon, at center ice. That's a little, once you're 18, I think it's, you're an adult and, you can figure things out. This idea now, and of course the whole, as I said, to move on to the Chris Simon thing, the CTE, then you hear Rempe's name, of course, coming up. Well, that's what's going to happen with Rempe. And it's like, oh, give it a rest. Like, Chris Simon and these guys had more fights on a road trip than Rempe's had all year. So it's like, calm down. But again, we get the pearl clutching and all of a sudden everyone has to be the white knight on social media, and just everybody starts becoming really righteous, and it's like, get off your high horse. I think the fact that you're arrogant enough to go on social media, whether it be just Joe Blow, Couch Jockey, or Mr. Media, Ken Campbell has me blocked, but I'm sure the douchebag was talking about it today or talking about it on social media. I know Cox is crying about it, and Steve Simmons is crying about it, and Gino Retta a couple weeks ago was, oh my God, somebody sit down Rempe, and everything else. Like I said, I think when we start dictating what grown adults should be doing, and we know what's best for them, I think that becomes very, it's a very arrogant take on things. We need to save them from themselves. Okay. You're going to sit there, Mr. Matthews fan 34 on social media figures. He's going to save all these players from themselves. It's like, come on, man. Like, get off your high horse. And the problem I have with the Simon thing is, as Matthew Barnett, well, here, hold on. I'll hit pause here. Give me a sec. Yeah. Well, this is what led to my whole, I had been seeing the Simon stuff for a few days on social media, and I wasn't going to comment on it because, what's the point? But Matthew Barnaby had put a tweet out. I do not blame CTE on all of the deaths we've had the last couple years. There are a lot of different circumstances, finance, drugs, etc. Having said that, to say there is no correlation between CTE and fighting is absurd. I agree. And and Matthew Barnaby, if anybody would know, and I agree. And with the Chris Simon, we'll never know. I mean, this isn't new, breaking news. He had a lot of financial issues. He had bankruptcy a couple times, divorced, there had been issues that he had spoke about publicly. Again, this isn't just me throwing out the, but then you add, obviously, the CTE and everything else. I think there was obviously a series of issues there. Of course, then all the media guys and all these people that love to throw out, well, you had Bugard and Probert, and how many of them have to die? Belak and all them. Well, Bob Probert had a heart attack. Derek Bugard had an accidental overdose. Wade Belak and Rick Rippon had depression issues since they were teenagers. So it's not, it's all just, oh no, it's cause of fighting. It's all cause of fighting. No, it's not. So stop. No, did the fighting help? No, of course. Again, I'm not saying. No, it had nothing. Fighting had nothing to do with it. You can't say that. That's. Come on. But my issue become, and it's, again, I'm not trying to make light of anybody that's passed away or the suicides of Matador or any of these guys, enforcers, if you will. But people are lumping them all in together as they're all the same and it's because they fought. And it's like, no, it's not. And the thing is, there are hundreds, if not thousands of guys from junior A. How many guys from junior A, major junior, the minors, that never made the NHL but were enforcers, that have way more fights? How many guys in the LNAH had hundreds of fights? They're still here. Most successful and carrying on with life and everything else. It clearly affects everyone different. There's outside other sources adding to it. It's been my experience in just doing this show, talking with players, ex-players. The biggest battle that a lot of these guys have is just the basic life after hockey. And just they don't know what to do with themselves. They don't have a plan or, you know, et cetera. And it's all of a sudden it's just over. And you lose the camaraderie. You lose sort of your importance because you had a role within the team. You miss that team bonding, that family type atmosphere. And they're just sort of left, now what? And you're kind of looking around. And that can be very scary. And like I said, and then you add the physical toll that it's taken on them. Yeah, well, this is when it leads to some really dark stuff. But again, to just solely blame fighting for this? No. You know? So it, like a bunch of these people, it's like, oh, if we get rid of this wouldn't happen anymore. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, just stop. And it's just like, stop trying to, like I said, stand up on the bodies of those that have passed away to, so you could, like I said, white knight around social media. And again, try to tell grown adults about something that you have no idea about. These guys have never played. They've never been in a fight. They've never been anything physical, but the hockey news told them. So they're going to go around social media and like I said, get on the moral high horse. Again, I understand why people don't like fighting. I get it. At the same time, don't come to me and tell me if we got rid of fighting, it would be cleaner. Or if the refs just called the game correctly, it would be... No, it's... It's a contact sport. How are you going to get rid of head trauma in a contact sport? You can't. Well, we could always try to make it safer. Well, again, how do you make it safer? Now, I get flying elbows, shots. Okay, I get it. Yes. Of course. But I can hit you cleanly and you'll get a concussion. If I put my shoulder into your chest at 35 miles an hour, your head's snapping back, and that's what causes the trauma, the head trauma. So like I told this one bozo that's sitting there arguing with me, I said, well, if you're so hung up on head trauma and this is your new cause in life is to outlaw head trauma in hockey, well, what's the leading cause of concussions in the NHL or in all of hockey? Body contact. Oh, well, yeah, but if the Joperos and them would call headshots, no. Body contact. Again, this is what these people get wrapped up in. It's like, well, if it's a clean hit, you won't get a concussion. It's like, yeah, again, that's why I know you never played anything. No, a clean hit will give you a concussion. It's the speed and it's the sudden stop that gives you the concussion. So if you're so worked up about head trauma, then your first order of, see, as I told you, well, then your first order of business should be outlawing body contact. Oh, well, now you're being stupid. Huh. No more stupid than you are. Oh, you're just being a wise. No, I'm telling you, the leading cause of concussions, not body contact. Yeah, but. Well, no, not the yeah, but. Is it? Yes. Well, then I guess you should start there then. Oh, I can't talk to you. You're being an idiot. Oh, okay, well, There you go. I mean, you're just a hypocrite. And like I said, it's 15-minute outrage, and I'm sure next week they'll be on to something else. And they don't... At the end of the day, they don't give a shit about Chris Simon. They don't give a shit about Wade Belak or Rick Rippon, Derek Boogaard, Bob Pro, any of these. They don't care. It's just their cause for the week that they're going to yell and scream about. And then the thing that really kind of hit this home to me that got me actually really annoyed, not that the people were using Chris Simon. I mean, that was brutal too. I mean, but I wasn't going to comment, whatever. But I had a guy... Again, the whole, I said, well, you should get rid of body contact. We were going back and forth. And like I said, who are you to tell grown adults how they should earn a living, how they should play a sport when you've never done it? Now, that's one thing Dan Carcillo and I do not obviously see eye to eye. He's been caught lying many times. It's the pot and the kettle. And I think he's a hypocrite and everything else. But he also has the credibility to speak on the subject. I will give him that, obviously. I don't think he's right, but he has the credibility to speak on it. I don't think Matthews Fan 34 does, and clearly. But the thing that irked me about this whole thing, as to me, that really got my ire up, was he came back and a couple of the guys, they said, well, I've been looking at your profile and all you do is talk about fighting. Your whole podcast is apparently about fighting. How do you sleep at night? I'm like, I don't know what that means. I'm quite fine, actually. They're like, well, you're on a podcast network. Do you get paid to do this show? I said, yes, I do get paid to do this show. They're like, well, then you're profiting off the death of enforcers. I'm profiting off the death of enforcers. Oh, yeah. How? So, this show was built on the respect factor to give to the enforcer. When I've had numerous guys on this show, I have interacted with hundreds online, whether it be with videos and with pictures, and it is to spotlight the individuals and what they did. And I am not arrogant enough or I'm not righteous enough to talk down to these guys. They perform the hardest role in sports. And my whole account, the whole point of the Fourth Line Voice, it's even in the name, Fourth Line Voice, is to give these guys a voice. As I've often said, and this person who said it to me, case in point, all you do is shit on these guys. Talk down to them. Feel sorry for them. Etc. Oh, they're the broken toys. You have no respect for these people. Like I said, you stand on them to prove your point, or to try to prove your point. No, I'm here to celebrate them. That's the point of this, my whole social media presence with this show, with this podcast. So for you to sit there and say that I'm profiting off the death of Chris Simon and Wade Belak, well, first of all, go fuck yourself. I don't think so. I met Wade Belak a few times, had some excellent conversations with him. I helped Wade Belak out with his fight tape. He was very appreciative of it. He enjoyed it. In fact, I believe he played it at his bachelor party. He was that excited to get it. And he was very, we always had good interactions the limited time that I was around him. I unfortunately never met Derek Boogaard or Bob Probert, etc., or Chris Simon. I never had any interactions with them online. Well, Boogaard's a couple emails. But other than that, I never had any. I've had interaction with Derek's brother, Aaron. But I've had countless interactions with players, whether it be in person, online, on my show during interviews, at Ice Wars, from junior to minors to pro, or junior to pro to NHL. All levels. And I have nothing but respect for the players And I think anybody that listens to this show or follows my account for any length of time knows that. I'm not sitting here trying to, I'm not trying to defend my position at all. I mean, I know what this is about and what this show is about and what I talk about. As I've often brought up with this show, the point of my show was to give the fourth line player the voice, the platform to say what they need to say, because it's people like this goof and the media people that shit on these guys, use them and, talk down about them, or, like I said, unfortunately, use their death to push some agenda. So that's why I got mad and pushed back and came up with this platform. And that has always been my goal with this show, this podcast, my social media presence. It's never been about me. As I've always said, as to another person, when I said, well, your show's all about you, I said, well, what's my name then? What do I look like? Exactly. You don't know. Yeah, people that need to know my whole, well, Darren is my real name, but you don't know my full name. You don't know what I look like, because this show's not about me. It's about my guests. It's about who I'm talking about. Today, it was about Matt Henry, showcasing his talents. Hopefully, I'd love to see him turn pro. Hopefully, a team gives him a chance. That's the point of this show. It's always been the point and will always be the point of this show. It's not about me or you. It's about the athlete, the enforcer, the fourth liner. And that's why I've always challenged anybody to go back on my social media. Have I ever talked shit about anybody, any athlete? No. Now, I've given them shit over their actions, but never them or their abilities. No, it's to highlight the athlete. Namely, the fourth line enforcer. Because while everybody else dumps on them, I wanted to highlight them. And I think the guys from the past get forgotten about. And the only time these guys will ever talk about them is when one of them passes. Oh, see, yeah, or there's another one dead. When are we going to do anything about this? Oh, okay. You know, meanwhile, the guy, you know what the most ironic thing is? One of the goofs that was yapping at me on Twitter. Well, guess what his profile picture, because he's Mr. Leaf fan. Guess what his profile background on Twitter is? Well, it's Reeves landing a punch to Rempe. Yeah, but you're telling me that I profit off the death of fighters. And that's all I care about. Go watch UFC then, bro. Yeah, okay. But I noticed you have Reeves punching Rempe in your profile. Like, the irony, you dipshit. But no, that really got me irritated I don't give a some faceless goof on Twitter, but the point is, it just got me, when I see all these people from the media on down using Chris Simon as some bargaining chip to, and they're tweeting at the NHL and Bettman and, well, somebody needs to get Bettman and get rid of him and charge him with murder. So what are you talking about? Like, just stop. And like I said, the players' poll comes out every year. The players want fighting. I told the guy that. Well, I don't. That's the way hockey culture is, though. They don't really want to, but they'll say they want to. They want it. Because that's just toxic hockey culture. Oh, okay. Yeah. Because you would know. Like, yeah, because you've been around so many hockey players and been in so many dressing rooms. Yeah, you know the temperature of the league and the thought process of what's going on through the players. Yeah, sure, there. So, no, it, anyway, oh, here we're at the hour mark and I'm still ranting. But, no, this particular, when I heard the news that Chris Simon had passed away, Unfortunately, that was my immediate reaction. Was, oh yeah, here we go. Watch social media blow up with all the nonsense. Sure enough. And these people just make it about them. And it's just like, what? Like, you don't care. You don't care about Chris Simon. You just care about your agenda. And it's not surprising. But I think it's very irresponsible for people just to blanket it, like, well, everybody that fought is going to do this and et cetera. You know, I think with my interviews and Joe and Alec and the shows that have the guys on, you know, Spit and Chiglets Cam and Stricken Cam. I mean, you know, all those guys that have tough guys on. Well, clearly it illustrates that Terry Ryan on shore, is he doing great? You know, lots of guys, you know, doing really well. So I think this whole negative narrative around fighting, I mean, unfortunately, yeah, there are some sad things in life and some sad stories. I mean, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of suicides a day from all walks of life. So, and hockey is no different, unfortunately. It's going to happen. Now, again, I'm not trying to make light of CTE or anything like that. Obviously, repeated blows to the head are not good. And I'm sure all of us that went at that played physical contact sports and et cetera, you know, probably have some form of it, to be completely honest. But, you know, I mean, you can't go back in time. So, you know, hopefully, science and medicine and going forward, they can, you know, do something about it and, you know, or diagnose, you know, do something that maybe can either slow it down or, you know, what have you. So, you know, as we go forward in the world, but, no, it was just it was just so frustrating to read. And again, not surprising because it's every time it's happened and, you know, but I think there's a lot of issues that need to be addressed, obviously, in life and anything. There's lots of issues that need to be addressed, and depression and mental health is a huge thing. And I know it's cliche to say and everything, but it's okay to not be okay. And I know I have ex-players that listen to this show. I have current players that listen to this show. Mike Segroy put out a great Facebook post, and he talks about the Professional Hockey Players Association has a mental health. Segroy, Morasti, McIntyre, Trevor Gillies, a lot of the tough guys have really gotten on board, and they're really, really pushing mental health within the Players Association, the Retired Pro Players Association. And and like Mike said, if anybody needs help, do not be afraid to reach out. And right now, in the sound of my voice, any ex-players or current players, if you're listening to this and you need help, please get a hold of Mike Segroy on social media. If you're not on social media and you don't know how to get a hold of somebody, reach out to me. My email is hockeyfights@hotmail.com. Please send me an email and I will put you in touch with Mike or John, or, you know, I'm in contact with all those guys, and I will certainly put you in contact with them, and they can definitely, you know, talk to you, and they've gone through it, and they know, they've walked the mile in your shoes. So again, do not be afraid to ask for help. I think that's the biggest thing. And that goes to all my listeners, everybody out there, not just ex-players, but anybody that if you're battling, talk to somebody. There's hotlines, anything. I've said this on my show before, and I'll say it again. If you just want to get a hold of me, if you need someone to talk to, absolutely. As I said, hockeyfights@hotmail.com. Or if you're on social media, my DMs are open. Absolutely. And, you know, we can definitely talk, you know, I'll do my best to help and put you in touch with people, going through similar things or that know your struggles, firsthand. And, I think it would be great to, put you in touch with those people because, you know, similar life experiences, and they know what you're going through and more than anybody. And absolutely. And I know AJ Galante and Daniel Ainsbury said the same thing on their show. And, you know, absolutely. As I said, it's okay to not be okay. And please talk to people. Reach out. And I know it can be hard. And, but yeah, let's take care of each other. So, yeah, guys, I think we'll end it on that. I just wanted to talk about that and the whole, you know, the real, unfortunately, the tragedy brings out the sewer dwellers and, you know, and it was really frustrating and, to see, and then to be, like I said, to be accused of things, and it was kind of like, you know, it was just really hard and, yeah, frustrating, but as social media can be. But, yeah, I wanted to address that, and again, and I wanted to put that that out to the world, that listening, that if you need help, again, hit up Mike Segroy on social media, and if not, you can get a hold of me, and I will put you in touch for sure. I will make that connection. So I want to thank you guys for listening, and as always, I know there's many podcasts to listen to. The fact that you chose to listen to mine, I greatly appreciate it. I really do. And let's get out of here. Let's attack the work week, and yeah, I'll talk to all you guys on Wednesday. Thanks, everybody.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?